What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
And now it's time for Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
What's happening, everybody? So much to get to tonight. Hope you are all great. If you are in downtown Chicago right now, the skies are darkening as I look back and I see Michigan Avenue from whence I just came walking. It was a straight up disaster on Michigan Avenue going south. The honking meter was just at a 10. Look, there's always honking happening in the city of Chicago, no matter where you are. If you're walking downtown, it's just sort of part of the soundtrack. But man, it was somebody did something that somebody didn't like. I think somebody was being picked on because something happened down there. There were buses involved. Like, don't mess with the buses, man. You got the inexperienced Uber drivers out there all meshing with people just trying to get home. And then you have the natives who are super pissed off about what's going on down there. So I just wanted to give you that update. Let's all, if you're listening right now, let's all just take a deep breath, man. Like, it's the hyper end of the summer in Chicago, and I get it. The Lollapalooza stage is set. I just saw it walking in. It's very excited. Pretty soon, as the month goes on, you'll start to hear roaring planes going through the clouds and wondering what's happening when the air show hits town and the Blue Angels are doing their thing. But, man, I just sensed some anger and frustration from people as I was coming in today. Maybe they didn't like the fact that the Cubs lost 2 out of 3, but things were good today. We're going to talk about this Cubs series here in just a minute, but let me give you the rundown of what's going down tonight. 6:25, we will get a Bears report from Chris Emma regarding today's practice. He was out at the hall. I was not out in Lake Forest today, so I'm looking forward to hearing the specifics and the deets of what went down. At 7 o'clock, we will be joined by Chicago Tribune writer Megan Montemurro, who was in Milwaukee documenting all 3 games of that series. So looking forward to getting her expertise and insight, as she always brings right here on The Score. At 7:30, we will hear from Bears quarterback Caleb Williams. He met the media today. We'll talk to Emma a little bit about that. But I've got some opinions on Caleb Williams, and I will tell you exactly how I would characterize Caleb Williams's play so far. So that's coming up at 7:30. Scott Bear of the Marquee Sports Network jumps in here at 8 o'clock tonight to talk more Bears. You will hear that often from me when I'm hosting. More Bears. There will be more Bears coming up, and a lot more fun along the way here tonight. I'm with you until 9 o'clock, and of course, you are important to this product as well. 312-644-6767 is the phone. Bears. If you want to slip in a call, thank you, Sean Sears, who is executively producing this show here tonight. The text line is here. Actually, I don't see my text line right now, but I will definitely refresh that and get it going for you at 312-644-6767. Is the Cubs-Brewers series slowly, and I mean slowly, taking over Cubs Cardinals as the best rivalry for the Cubs. And I know that that almost sounds like sacrilege because it's just always been the Cubs and the Cardinals. There has always been a healthy dislike and discord between the two teams. We in the Midwest will hit people over the head when they talk about the Yankees-Boston rivalry. We will jump in and we will tell you that no, Cubs-Cardinals. If you know, you know. And a lot of people, they understand what it's all about, like Cubs-Cardinals and all that. But man, these three games in Milwaukee were gassed up. Like just watching, listening to them, listening to both sets of broadcasters on television and on radio talk, like listening to Pat Hughes today, talking about even before the attendance came out, kind of anticipating a massive crowd. It was 42,000 plus in this ball game at Miller Park today, the biggest crowd of the year in Milwaukee. So because of proximity, because they are just like the Cardinals in the same division, and because these two teams always seem to be duking it out. Not that there haven't been some really good moments in terms of the rivalry with the Cardinals through the years, but man, this rivalry between these two teams has probably the potential someday to take over Cubs-Cardinals. And I know, like, that's a bold statement right there. And again, not one that I've necessarily wanted to make because, you know, we all sort of accept it. There are our rivalry, our friend, the St. Louis Cardinals and all of that kind of stuff. But now I get it. Like this is a test of time too. The Milwaukee Brewers kids have only been in the National League and in the National League Central, that is, since 1998. Before that, they were a county stadium playing American League ball club. They were very American League too in terms of some of the guys that they had on their teams through the years. But they are now, obviously, since 1998, a playoff year for the Cubs, by the way. That would be a wild card year, a Leslie Lancaster closing games for you back then. Or was Les, yeah, he was a closer back in the day, old Leslie Lancaster. Les Lancaster.
We like our Leslies.
We do like our Leslies. I do like to point that out because I didn't know he was a Leslie. By the way, was Les Grobs, he was a Lester. Yeah, he wasn't a Leslie. I think I brought that up to him. No, I'm not a Leslie. Stop calling me a Leslie. I'm a Lester.
He's a Lester.
But yeah, they have not yet withstood the test of time like Cubs Cardinals because this has only been happening since 1998. But I can think of very few years in this rivalry where one team wasn't of consequence to the other in terms of what they were fighting for. So yeah, that's just something that struck me right before I opened the mic here today. But the Cubs, it was an ice cube day. It was a good day for the Cubs after really just getting the Brewers beat them up the first two games. Let's face it, the Monday game was a sports disaster because you had Jake Mizorowski on the hook. I mean, you had him. You were like, and I agreed with Boogan JD when they were talking about it. You might have been a pitch away from Mizorowski leaving the game or just not coming back in the game. He had 40 pitches in that first inning, and the Cubs did have three runs, and then they just couldn't protect it. And ironically, it was Matt Boyd who couldn't hold it. He had a bad game, and he is entitled to those, but it sure sucked that it was at that time. And then last night, inexplicable things happened in that game. Two things that were very Twilight Zone to me. The PCA drop. He dropped the ball. Now, he was twisting and turning as he went out there, but that's not the Pete we know, right, Sean Sears? That's not PCA. That's not Pete Crow Armstrong. That's not Pete Crow All-Star. None of that, is
right,
it?
100%. That's not the guy that we've been expecting, and he's been amazing, so, like, you know, when those things happen, it's whatever, but, like, on, of all the things,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I was screaming, like, two hands! Two hands, Pete!
Nobody uses two hands anymore, but when they drop a ball, then we say, two hands,
my
man!
Middle-aged man came out, yeah.
That's funny. That is one thing that has withstood through the fan generations, though. You are way younger than I am, and you still have that mentality, which I have as well. So two hands, man. Don't be hot dogging a PCA. Don't be trying to catch it down by your quads like that. I know it looks cool. The kids like it. Two hands, man. Two hands. Oh, man. Like, think about that. Like, you know why that's drilled into our heads? Because our amateur coaches, little league coaches, they didn't know that much about coaching, but they did know two hands. They knew they could tell little Sean, hey, two hands, hey, little Chatter, two hands. Those are things that sound good, and it makes you sound like you're an authority on as far as being a head coach is concerned. And really, nobody knows anything except for those managers at the top of the league.
Exactly. And it's all about, you know, baseball, such like, oh, fundamentals. If you do it correct or whatever, and it all kind of ties back into Rhino a little bit too, who was the king of fundamentals. But you know, of all the guys to make a silly play like that, right?
Yeah, so he had a drop yesterday. He also sort of misplayed a ball off the wall on the triple.
Yeah.
The Cheerios?
Yeah. He banged way harder off the wall. I don't think he expected it. It shot by him. Yeah, he just gave up.
Yeah, it was weird. I actually think I know what was going through his mind on that. I think he thought he could make the play and then realize, oh man, I have to protect myself. I am so close to the wall right now. I am not going to catch this ball, and I'm not going to bang into it either. So that probably, for the sake of his body, was the best play to have made. But it still was like, you just don't
drops the ball. No! He drops the ball.
Oh man, that's the first thing that goes through my brain every time somebody drops the ball. He dropped the ball. Poor Brant Brown. Oh, Brant. But yeah, so PCA, that's why I said it was Twilight Zone stuff. Like, of course he gets a pass. He was forgiven 12 seconds after it happened. I had to process it, but I'm still talking about it here. But that's because it was the Twilight Zone. And then the other Twilight Zone thing that is ongoing, I mean, it's time to roll credits on this guy, but Vaughn, oh my God, stop it. I don't know who this is more upsetting for right now. For Andrew Vaughn is who I'm talking about. Andrew Vaughn, yes, that Andrew Vaughn, the number 6 overall pick or something like that way back then, was a straight up bust for the Chicago White Sox. They let him go recently. The Brewers picked him up. They had an injury, so he got to play. He's been nothing but good for the Milwaukee Brewers. A grand slam last night off of Ryan Presley. So there's a lot of weird things going on, or were, I thought, in that game. And unfortunately, Colin Ray just didn't have it either, which happily brings me to today. And anybody watching or paying attention to the game today was like, yeah, the Cubs have to win this game. They did win this game today, 10-3. Shota Imanaga was okay. He gave up 2 homers, better than, I guess, his last performance. I mean, there wasn't a lot he couldn't do to be better than that performance against the White Sox. But still not where you want or need Shota Imanaga to be at this point if you are to be a playoff player, which presumably the Cubs are. You cannot have what we saw today against the Brewers in the first game of a playoff series, or even in the big games that are going to occur down the stretch. But we'll give him a little bit of room to continue to stretch out after his return, just his second start since coming back. Here is the thing that can make you happy about today's Cubs game. I don't know why anybody should be upset about the Cubs having lost 2 out of 3 in the series, because guess what? A guy by the name of Moises Ballesteros is back with the Chicago Cubs. And this man today had the biggest hit for the Cubs in this series. It was a 3-run double in the third inning to make the game 5-1 Chicago Cubs. Let's take a listen to it.
Base runners, Crow Armstrong at third, Kelly at second, Horner at first. And now the 1-2 stretch and the delivery. Swing and a drive, left center field, a base hit in the alley. 2 runs have scored. Racing around third, Horner. He's going to try to score. The relay to the plate, not in time. 3-run double, Moises Ballesteros. Welcome back to the Chicago Cubs, Moises. Cubs lead 5-1.
God, that was a juicy hit. Opposite field. got it right there on the barrel. Something about that hit was just sweet in so many ways. I'm always biased towards left-handed swings anyway, and then he puts it in the gap. It was just a thing of beauty by Moises Ballesteros, because it wasn't there. Like, he made a ton of contact his first run through with the Cubs, but a lot of like ground outs to second base and short. It was like Jason Hayward in his first 3 months with the Cubs. A bunch of ground outs to second base. So, like, you saw the contact was there, but the exit velo was not until today, and that was certainly the hit of the day. Here is Craig Counsell on Moises Ballesteros.
We haven't got the big hit this series, and that was certainly a big hit, and that was the biggest hit of the day for sure. And falling behind with two strikes, with some good swings, just missed a fastball, and then just a good at bat, and hit it hard, hit it in the gap, and then we got three runs there, so. That's great. Man, call a kid up. He doesn't sleep. He has a 3 o'clock wake-up call and delivers biggest hit of the game.
God bless Moises Ballesteros for that. But he's young. He can handle it. And sometimes I think when you're in those modes, we've all been in those modes where we've had a crazy 24 hours and maybe haven't slept, and you come in. Sometimes, like, and maybe I'm just speaking for myself, sometimes in life I've done my best work there, because you sort of overamp yourself and your body naturally adrenalizes itself, and you just really, really, really try hard and focus, and it works. And I think Ballesteros had a little bit of that to do. Let me not give credit to Dansby Swanson, because as we know, a bugaboo for him this year, it's been torture when he's been up there with runners in scoring position. And he had, I mean, this might have even been, well, maybe just as big in some ways as Ballesteros, because he had an RBI double to make it 6-3, huge insurance run, as at the time Milwaukee was starting to creep back in, getting some momentum before they blew the thing out. And by the way, Ian Happ, and I know it was late and it was just kind of like garbage time, Ian Happ hit a two-run homer in this game. He's been hitting the ball harder the last couple of days. I noticed that. So that portends well for him, and that's the way it always starts for Ian Happ. He goes into these slumps, and this has been a bad one, but when he comes out of those slumps, it always starts with him hitting the ball hard at people, and then it turns into singles. And as we saw today, at the end anyway, garbage time, I get it, but I bet he was taking that at bat pretty seriously though. Still, he jacks a two-run homer, and like I said, hopefully for his sake, that turns into good things for him. Also, man, like so many things today from this game. Kyle Tucker with a two-run double in the sixth to add on, made it 8-3, precious add-on runs. That brings us to one of the things, too, about Ballesteros is I've always kind of been under the assumption, and maybe it hasn't changed, and maybe it is even more so now, that Ballesteros would probably be included in any sort of trade package that the Cubs put together. Because while he is a guy that I like, I mean, like, I was delighted. It was jump out of your seat moment when you see this kid jack one into the gap opposite field, and just the swing and the contact and all of that. But he does feel like a guy who would be expendable, and that you could talk teams into, and that teams may even desire. And I know, like, he's not in the top three. I know who we're talking about here, but I just think that that's an important distinction. Hey, if he's still here, that is definitely a nice bat to have off the bench if you can make room for him. So I just think that he is a player of consequence in many different ways. I've got my list that I was putting together of potential starting pitchers, and it's a weird year this year. Not for what everybody else is saying, and I've said it too, that it's a seller's market this year. There is not a lot out there that is available. Like, there's not quantity this year. The other part, too, is that some of the names that we're going to talk about here, a lot of them are big-name players that are not having good years, which makes it very – and most of them on teams that are playing poorly, or we wouldn't be talking about them. So it complicates things then. Will they, once they are in a different atmosphere and playing in bigger games and things matter and they're not tanking or whatever their team is doing, will that flip the switch because they are Sandy Alcantara, for instance? Like, will that, will the, will a
Will the switch flip? God, I was really struggling with that in my brain. Will the switch flip? Will the sample switch for Sandy Alcantara, the 2022 Cy Young Award winner? June, guys, was his only good month. He's been bad a lot this year. An 8.47 ERA in 11 starts through the end of May. That was back in May. Good in June, 2.74 ERA. July, he's had three bad starts. The last two starts, though, against St. Louis and San Diego have been good. He's had good starts. So, like, just looking at what he has done recently, but for most of this year, Alcantara has been giving up tons of runs. Now, the reports are that the velocity is there, stuff's there, but he's still getting hit up. So that's important to note. I mean, if you look at him, like, I would not look at Alcantara as a guy who's going to come and save the day or give you greatness at this point. He'd be somebody you think about, can he be ready next year and be part of the Cubs next year? Because we just don't know. Most guys recover from Tommy John, but he's still in the process of recovering from it. So that's the deal on Alcantara. I want to get back to this. I have run out of time.
You've got some names on this list, though. I'm excited about
it. I do have some names on that list. Other than Alcantara, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five starting pitchers, and there's only one position player.
Switch the sample.
So you can make Provasic. There's only one position player we're talking about, and understandably, and that's Eugenio Suarez. One way or the other, I want it to end because too many people are pronouncing the G in his name. So one way or the other, we need closure for Eugenio Suarez. Oh, man. I tell you, I try to teach people, Sean. I do, but it just doesn't take.
Yeah, that's not enough why people listen to Pat Hughes, man.
You got to listen to Pat Hughes. Yeah, it's like, yep, I hear that from people in our business. I'm like, wow, they are not listening to what's going on. They're not watching or listening. They're just reading, which I guess is good, right? I mean, that's what it means, right? Eugenio? What's going on?
Eugenio.
Oh, man. Pat Hughes. They were great today. I listened to a good chunk on the radio. Coming up next, we've got to talk Bears. I'm curious as to what happened in Bears practice today in Lake Forest. Chris Emma of 670 The Score will fill us in next on The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just letting there not be really a limit on anything that I can do. We have talked about a bunch of different things, so every day is just learning more on the whole defense. I will say definitely, like, now it feels fun to, like, for me to know everything and everyone's responsibility, who's there, who's helping, who don't got help. If I need to be able to switch to outside, free safety, strong safety, like, having that ability, I think is really fun. And for me, I just think it's fun in my next step in my love in my own game to be be able to do anything and everything, so that's just exciting.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Kyler Gordon was paid, and now they're trying to remake this man. It's like Kyler Gordon 2.0 is coming. They're about to unleash a weapon on the world in Kyler Gordon, who has made perfect progression since being a rookie. He is an example of a player the Chicago Bears have developed well. Welcome back into the show. I am Mark Grody here with you until 9 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Talking a lot of Bears and Cubs here tonight. And for more Bears talk, I am happy to bring in my colleague, my friend, my partner out at Hallis Hall. He is 670 The Score. It's Chris Emma. He was there today watching the practice. What up, Emma?
Grody, what's up? How we doing?
I'm doing well. Where are you?
I am at my place.
Oh, okay. I heard just a little bit of like in the background. Like I thought maybe you were outside in Chicago, which would have been delightful as well.
It's beautiful out tonight, man. We got the humidity gone. No more that true swampy camp feel we've had all week so far, where it's been triple digits. Yeah, it feels like football season's coming.
Swampy is the word. Emma, tell me what you saw today out in Lake Forest, because I was not there to witness with my own two eyes.
Yeah, it was a shorter practice, a focus on the red zone. Caleb Williams had some good moments. He had a good throw to Luther Burden over the middle for a touchdown. Had a ball to Burden in the back of the end zone that he just couldn't get himself in bounds. It was a heck of a catch, so good to see the second-round rookie making an impact today. Like I said, shorter work, lighter work. Tomorrow's going to be a big day at Hallis Hall because they're going to be full go. It'll be one of their heavier practices they've had so far in this training camp. Pads will be on. The speed will be high. They will be earning that off day on Friday.
Everybody's going to get footballs in training camp. It's just the way it works. There will be targets to guys that we don't even know and that we will never hear from again. But your talk, so I don't want to make too much out of, you know, hearing about the connection between Caleb Williams and Luther Burden over the last couple of days. But what do you think the plan is for, how do you think the Bears envision Luther Burden by opening day, considering some of the time that has lost? What do you project for Luther Burden when the season begins in September?
It's hard to say. He has to earn it. Look, Ben Johnson put him on blast, and he did it politely and delicately, but he put him on blast talking about that moment in walkthrough a couple nights ago in which Burden was not able to get lined up properly, and Ben pulled him from that place, and you know, you're not ready for this. They had to reset the huddle, get somebody else in there. That's a tough moment for a rookie. That's a guy who's been obviously missing a ton of time and have to handle those mental reps. You keep hearing about the chances to get those mental reps down, focus in your meetings, and same with Antoine Randall. Clearly, it's not doing enough for him. And look, this is not an indictment of him. This is a complicated offense he's learning and adjusting to, and it's different once you get out there live. But Colson Loveland missed a lot of time, too, and he's getting lined up properly. So it tells you that Luther Burden needs to put his head in the playbook and really study up and understand what he's working with here to be an impact player. The talent is there. You saw that on film in Missouri. He was a playmaker. But this is a guy who obviously fell in the draft in large part because teams questioned whether he had that desire to be a truly great player. And you want to see him go out there and defy all the critics and show how great he can be. But I think the sky's the limit for Luther Burden, but he has to go get it.
It would appear that Luther Burden is in the wrong place if he thinks he's going to be able to get away with what he reportedly was getting away with at Missouri. And I'm not saying that there's some big indictment that I'm holding back and I'm not telling people. It's just the reports out of there that there were times when, you know, it was his way. That ain't going to happen. It would appear, considering the demeanor that we've seen from Ben Johnson so far. You mentioned Colston Loveland. That's the other guy that is top of mind right now. What have you seen from Colston the last couple of days when you've had eyes on the Bears' first-round pick?
You've seen him flash. He caught a ball deep from Caleb Williams a couple days ago that really kind of caught your attention. And he's making plays. He looks very comfortable. He's got a great catch radius. He's a really natural, talented route runner. And go back to April when they had that decision. You got a chance to take the top tight end off the board. And a lot of people thought it was Tyler Warren, that would have been the guy, myself included. I think I was on air with you that night saying, here comes Tyler Warren. Yeah. And they went Colston Loveland because, in large part, he's a great route runner. And that's what stood out. They felt he could be a guy who, beyond just the shorter stuff, be an intermediate and deep threat in this offense and somebody who you can line up certainly in the tight end position, but also out wide to make plays, make an impact for this offense. And you've seen that. He's been lining up at wide receiver. He's been lining up at tight end. He's been moving all around this offense. And you get a true sense that he is going to be a dynamic part of their plans. And he looks ready. Like I say, credit to him. Those mental reps he was logging, he was doing them well. He looks comfortable out there. There's not been any moments where he seems like he's lost. Everything seems to come really naturally for him, and it's positive developments. He seems to have overcome what he missed out on throughout the offseason program as he was dealing with that recovery from shoulder surgery. So he looks good. He looks ready to go, and I'm intrigued to see more from him.
Love the possibilities, man. When you're talking about him lining up at receiver and tight end, we know that this is what he did, and we know that this was what was talked about, but it's really cool to hear it, because if this pans out, and we don't know, maybe Tyler Warren would have been the better pick. But if it works out the way that they are talking about it, I get why everybody in that organization is so excited about him. Chris, on the defensive side of the ball, I think a good place to start for me anyway, it was a perfect little bit of audio played by Sean Sears just now, was with Kyler Gordon, because he's kind of like this man of mystery on this team. Like, Kyler Gordon 2.0 is about to hit, and he's going to be, and this is really good player who I think they think can be great. What are you hearing now from Dennis Allen and from Kyler Gordon for that matter?
Just that. They think he can be great. We heard it for the first time we got to know Dennis Allen. We heard it from Ben Johnson, I think, the day he got hired, when he asked about who he likes in this defense. I think Kyler Gordon was one of the first guys he mentioned. Like, they feel really highly about it. I love the way you described it. That's a great pick. That's Ryan Poles' first draft pick he ever made, number 36 overall back in 2022. And that kid looks like he's everything you wanted him to be. Like, he earned that contract extension. He's done everything to be a key cog in this defense. And now you got a defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, who wants to give you different looks and to really mix things up. And he's got some exotic stuff he wants to put out there, different from Matt Eberflus's defense, which ran so much base and so much nickel stuff. I think Kyler Gordon is going to be moving all over the place. And we've not really done the full gamut of it just yet. We've not been able to see exactly how that's going to look. But we've heard plenty of it from Dennis Allen and his plans for this scheme, and certainly hearing it from Kyler Gordon as well, along with Jaquan Brisker, who's going to be moving around a bit as well. I'm really fascinated to see how this defense comes to fruition, but the signs are good. These guys seem to really be embracing what Dennis Allen is preaching and scheming up. And yes, the defense is ahead of the offense. You can take that two-sided if you want. But if you want to be glass half full, man, you say this defense looks like he'd be really talented.
It's pretty clear right now, speaking of Dennis Allen, that one of the people who he is high on is Nashawn Wright. And I don't know, man. Like, does Tyreek Stevenson have to look out? Is he still not a slam dunk as the starting cornerback opposite of the absent Jalen Johnson?
Yeah, Dennis Allen said so today. He was asked, you know, is that number two corner spot open? Obviously, with Jalen Johnson, expecting that he is back out there as your number one at some point soon, certainly by week one, that you know that spot's filled. But Dennis Allen said that number two spot's wide open. And it's right. It's also Nick McCloud, the Notre Dame product, who's been a standout. Dennis Allen's like, I didn't really know what we have in this guy, and now I do. And you get a sense that they're putting Tyreek Stevenson on notice. And I don't know if there's any specific thing that forced them to that kind of thought, as much as just they've got some really talented options at corner that they feel good about, and they want to create that kind of competition. So I think that's a wonderful thing for Tyreek Stevenson. Like, you know, you've seen the flashes, you know how talented he can be, that he's made the interceptions, he's made the plays. But you know the inconsistencies, you know the struggles that he's had out there as well. A lot of the discipline certainly is on display, for better or for worse. And you want to put this kid on notice and really see how he responds. So that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, I was saying the other day, it's like it feels like Tyreek Stevenson, it's been a rough life for him in the NFL, as in nobody has ever slam dunked his job, ever. Like, even when he came in, man, you remember that training camp, it was him and Terrell Smith, and Tyreek Stevenson was way better, I thought, but they always gave the appearance that there was a competition going on. So, and some of what happened last year, that certainly makes it justifiable. Emma, was it a crowd day today? What was going down today? Was it a what happened?
It was. Sure. It was a crown day today. Yeah, it was an open practice. Another one tomorrow. I think tomorrow's going to be fun. I'm intrigued to see how this goes tomorrow. We're going to hear from Ben Johnson at 8 a.m., but about a half hour, 45 minutes before they take the practice field at Halas Hall. But, yeah, the intensity is going to pick up tomorrow. It's going to be a longer practice. Okay. Today was a shorter kind of ramp-down practice. I'm really excited to see this one. The nugget you get at the end of having the off day following a big practice is a motivator for those guys. And I think you're going to see some high energy out there tomorrow.
Tomorrow is the blockbuster day. So, yeah, if you've got one of them there free tickets, it's going to be a day out at Halas Hall. Chris Emma has just guaranteed that to us. What's going on with the left tackle today? Or give us anything that's happening with the offensive line that I need to know.
So they've continued this rotation with Braxton Jones when he was in there. He was out today for a veterans rest day, but they've done these three team periods throughout this week, and they've rotated all three of those guys evenly. So you've got Ozzie Trapillo, Karan Abagaji, and Braxton Jones in there. It's great to see Braxton Jones out there right now because certainly after overcoming a long rehab, it's just great for him. But for the team, like, now you really begin this tackle battle. And they were knowing that it wasn't going to be able to begin in earnest until, one, you get Braxton Jones out there, and two, you put on the pads, and Jones returned the day that they put on the pads. So now you get to really get a sense of how these guys respond. I mentioned it on the midday show a couple days ago, but honestly, Trapillo's physicality is already showing up just the first day he put on pads. Like, you could see it. I'm really eager to see him as the intensity picks up on a day like tomorrow and as you get into August. Like, I think you're going to see a lot of those moments where he's pancaking guys and he's taking care of business out there. And I think he's the guy to beat. As steady as Braxton Jones has been in that spot, as much as the Bears believe in him and would like to see him still be a part of that mix, like, I think they see such a high upside in Ozzie Trapillo that they know he can be their tackle for many years to come. And here's his chance now as a rookie with his competition wide open. He looks the part. He's embracing everything about this. And I think they want to see him go take this thing.
Got it. That would be ideal, and it would actually look really good to have Braxton Jones as the swing tackle if Trapillo is really ready for it, or Zapillo, or whatever pillow that we're talking about here, Emma. Speaking of not the Bears, I was just looking at something else. How you feeling about your Cubs? Is there going to be a big move? Do you think there's going to be a big move made ahead of the July 31st trade? That'd be tomorrow, Emma. 5 o'clock. Be here.
Is Jed Hoyer's phone working? Is anything happening there? Can he get something going? The reliever market's drying up now. You got Helsley to the Mets. You got Duran to the Phillies. I don't know. I want to see something happen here. This team has been basically a 500 team for the last 7 or 8 weeks. Ooh. Like, they've just not been good enough. And here are the Brewers once again, the better organization, as it seems to be. I know the Cubs win this game today, but like, the Brewers are the real deal. That pitching staff is fantastic again. They just have such a way of coming through and chasing down the Cubs. And I hope the Cubs see this. The weaknesses that have been out there on display is a moment to get this thing right. Get aggressive. This is Kyle Tucker's year. Maybe his only year here in Chicago. Like, get this thing done. Go out and be aggressive here before 5 o'clock tomorrow and get some upgrades because this team really needs it. You need one, maybe two starters. You certainly need two back-end relievers. Eugenio Suarez is still there for the taking if you can put the offer together. So there's a lot that can unfold here, but I'm growing impatient.
Did you think there's any way the Cubs could acquire Vaughn from the Milwaukee Brewers?
I mean, my goodness. I'll go on a mini rant now. Now you got me on to something else here. Not the Andrew Vaughn portion, but Adrian Hauser's out there. The White Sox scratched him from a start. Why were the Cubs in on that guy? Like, that was somebody who was with Craig Counsell in Milwaukee, was out there to sign. And now if you want to get him and add him to your mix, you got to give something up. That felt like a miss for the Cubs. Credit to the Brewers for going out and getting Andrew Vaughn. And, yeah, now he's the second coming. So go figure.
All right, Emma. Angry Emma. We have Angry Emma here today. I'm sorry I got you all worked up right there, my friend. The White Sox, by the way, Emma, since you mentioned them, they're leading the Phillies 6-2 in the seventh inning. They had obviously a long rain delay if you've been part of the rain that has been falling. But, Emma, you are the goods. Thank you for coming on with us. I'm sending Lawrence Holmes out to Bears practice tomorrow, so treat him nicely, okay?
Sounds great, buddy. Have a good one.
See you, dude. Go get your train. I think, you know what that sounded like to me? It sounded like the Fullerton Red Line is what that sounded.
Ah.
That sounded very Linkin Park. I know my Chicago neighborhoods, and that was a Linkin Park sound. Someday I'll explain to you all the neighborhood sounds that go on and why I know what neighborhood we are in. When we return, we're going to keep the end of the Emma rant going. I'm going to give you some of the guys who names who you've heard in these trades, but I just don't know that there's just not a juicy option out there. There's options. There's guys that'll make the Cubs better, and it might even be exciting if the Cubs land one of them, but I just don't know who the marquee guy is when we talk about the starting pitchers. We know who that is offensively. We will talk about it next on The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the name that I think is much more likely, I would say this, for the Cubs, they will try their best to keep Owen Casey. I'm not sure if they can keep him while still getting someone that's controllable, but I do believe they would much rather move Alcantara than Casey if they can help it. And the one they really like, Wiggins, potential ace pitcher down the line, seems like they really want to keep him. But Triantos can be in play, Alcantara can be in play, and for the right controllable piece, Casey could be in play, but I do not see Casey being a guy for a Zach Gallen, for a Merrill Kelly, for a rental piece.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Can I interest you in Moises Ballesteros? I believe I put that on the menu at the beginning of the show.
Of course, they're not. I just think that he hit a three-run gapper today. Teams got to be coming. Don't worry about Owen Casey. This is the James Triantos, Kevin Alcantara. Get out of here, man. That's the guy you want. You want some fun on your team? Moises Ballesteros, ladies and gentlemen, who I love. I love. I hope he's a Cub for a long time. But, you know, he does feel like a guy that you throw in to sweeten the deal a little bit because what he's got is, and I know I'm just like going nuts over a three-run double, but we saw the contact his first time around, and now he's got a little confidence and a little bit exit velo, a little bit of a feel for it. I just have a feeling he's going to have like a like a Dan Vogelbach type of career.
Yeah,
like,
that's exactly who I'm thinking of. He's the Dan Vogelbach of this group, right?
That's what he is, man. And those guys can, and he may even be. Where is Dan Vogelbach this year, by the way?
I don't know. He always finds his way on a team.
You now have a job between now and 9 o'clock. I'll give you till 9 o'clock tonight to look that up and find out where. Because Dan Vogelbach also trending guy who plays for every single team. Because who doesn't need that little explosion of bat power every once in a while? The rest, though, you can keep it. That's the problem. Where is he, Sears?
It looks like was playing in Toronto as of 2024, but he's not in the MLB at the moment.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You know what? One of these nights we should have Dan Vogel back on the radio.
We should. I mean, for people that don't remember, he's what got you Mike Montgomery.
He is what got you Mike Montgomery, and Mike Montgomery was the last man standing on that mound in Cleveland in the year 2016. So, yeah, I mean, by the way, I'm Mark Grody. This is The Score. That was John Paul Morosi, who was on with Spiegel and Parkins. I saw Parkins here. Spiegel and Holmes today.
Man, and Spiegel and Parkins is a show from like forever ago, isn't it?
Yeah, that is like old school, man. I don't even think they had internet when that show was happening right here on The Score.
Pre-Y2K.
Yeah. God, man. 2000 late is what that show was. No, actually, see, now I got to make good on everything here. The Score is once again teaming up with the Cubs and Stand Up to Cancer for the 24-hour Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. It all starts at 10 in the morning tomorrow, right here on 670 The Score. Danny Parkins, who was on the afternoon show today, who I embraced in the hallway today. Danny Parkins and The Score will team up to host the Radiothon, which will feature inspiring stories and many donation incentives. 100% of the proceeds will benefit Brain Up for Cancer Research. I will be on with Parko tomorrow from 6 until midnight, so we get to hang out for all those hours. I know there will be surprises and some cool things along the way in terms of who will be on the radio with us tomorrow, and it's always a good hang with Danny Parkin, so I am certainly looking forward to that. As for the Cubs, and we're tracking, man. We're keeping up to date with everything that's happening here tonight in terms of potential trades. I had a texter lamenting that the Mets and Phillies are already beating the Cubs to the punch. The Mets got reliever Tyler Rogers. Johan Duran is headed to the Philadelphia Phillies. So, I mean, it's interesting, though. Like, you always think about relief pitching. That's usually a top priority for any team going to the postseason. But we have been hyper-focused on starting pitching and the position player, Eugenio Suarez. The only guy that I feel like is sort of a slam dunk, like I know this guy could help you now and later, is Mackenzie Gore, who this year is 4-10 with a 3.52 ERA. You remember him throwing 7 shutout innings against the Cubs earlier this year. Dylan Cease has not had a particularly good year, 3-10 with a 4.79 ERA. One good start this month. Cease is still on the block, right? Sears, no funny stuff with him. I don't know.
Sure. What was that, sorry?
Is he still on the block?
No, I think he's healthy. He just hasn't been very good right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Zach Gallen, another guy. See, that's what I was saying earlier. These are all names. Oh, yeah, that guy. None of these guys have had good seasons. Dylan Cease, again, 4.79 ERA. Zach Gallen, who I love. I love Zach Gallen. He's 7-12 with a 5.60 ERA. Had a terrible July. He really has. He just gave up 5-plus runs the other day. Charlie Morton, 7-8 with a 5.40 ERA. He's had 2 decent starts recently. And today, Matt Spiegel brought up a name because guess who is a sellin'? San Francisco. He brought up the name Justin Verlander, who falls into that same category as all of these guys. Not had a great year. 4.54 ERA. I wrote some other notes down that I can't read. But the point is, Justin Verlander has not had a great... None of these guys, Cease, Gallen, Morton, Verlander. We talked about Sandy Alcantara a little bit earlier. It's not been a good year. Now, I do believe in the theory of these guys with proven track records going to the old atmosphere change, the adrenaline change, moreover, the competitive change, the I got something to play for other than just protecting myself, which has to go through the minds of these big time arms that we're talking about. There's some probably natural letdown that goes on when you're on a team that is going nowhere. So, you know, I would hope that's what you'd be depending on, because there's no track record for this year to suggest. And again, I'll put Alcantara at the head of it. There's nothing that they have done this year to suggest that they will be good or be able to help the Cubs even this season, other than not help the Cubs the way you want them to be helped. Like, these are all, like, none of their years have been ridiculous. There's nobody here with like a 7 ERA or something ridiculous like that. But there's nobody on this list that you could look at and say, yep,
that's the guy. He's going to do, you know, Zach Gallen stuff and give you seven-plus innings and allow three runs or fewer. I can't guarantee that, but things do change when things get a little bit more competitive. Coming up next, we'll talk more Cubs. Let's keep it cooking with Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune. She is their Cubs beat writer. She was in Milwaukee, so we'll talk about that series and see what she has in her notebook or on her cell phone right now about potential Cubs deals. It's all coming up on The Score.
Now it's good to have fun with names.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.